So when I was a kid, before 10 years old probably, my mother had a Kelly Green t-shirt, almost the same color as the stole, with white lettering on it that said, "I'm one of those crazy Episcopalians." You ever seen one of those? I haven't seen one since, and I kind of wanted one as a kid. Because growing up where I was, I didn't meet too many Episcopalians, mostly Baptist, Catholic, Jewish. Didn't meet hardly any Episcopalians outside of my own church. So as a child, looking at a shirt that said, "I'm one of those crazy Episcopalians," I just figured, well, that must mean that there's not many of us. Or that a lot of people don't know about what the Episcopal Church is and what we do. But as I grew older, I started figuring out what maybe that shirt might mean, what that saying might mean, "I'm one of those crazy Episcopalians." You know, the Episcopal Church has done some crazy things. It seems to be that our denomination, as well as others, but certainly our denomination seems to not be afraid of talking about social issues like the civil rights movement back in the 60s, or Stonewall in the 60s, or women's rights, or leadership within the church. The list goes on and on about the things happening in society and in our neighborhoods and in our very common lives. Not much fear that the Episcopal Church talks about those things and seeks to resolve them. Indeed, the Episcopal Church is very much on the forefront of a lot of those issues to this day. So maybe we are a bunch of crazy Episcopalians, and our prayer is that we're crazy for the right reasons. So we're into the third chapter of Mark, and already Jesus has the crowds wondering about him. His family is afraid for him, maybe even afraid of him, and the religious leaders are against him. And all he's done so far is announce the coming of God's kingdom, call some disciples, cast out a demon or two, and heal some sick people. Of course, one of those disciples was a tax collector. He cast out the demon and did much of his healing work on the Sabbath. And he seemed fine being approached by a leper, which means that Jesus' vision of the coming kingdom of God was rooted in a profound inclusivity against every religious law and social custom that would prevent him from reaching out to those folks in need. And here's the thing. When we're crazy enough to commit ourselves to offering that same kind of gracious hospitality and wide welcome that Jesus exhibits, we're also bound to catch some flack from some folks. Maybe people won't call you demon-possessed like the scribes do about Jesus, but don't be surprised if people close to you, maybe even in your own family, think you might be a little nuts. Let me give you a little context. Imagine if you had a sister or brother, someone close to you, a child even. You find you're driving down Long Point one day and you come to that stop sign over at Witte. Maybe it's Westview and Witte, where the day laborers congregate waiting for work. And you see your son or daughter in their midst talking to them, hanging out with them. Or maybe you see your son or daughter or best friend hanging out with another group of folks that the rest of us don't really hang out with too often. It would be a little contextually challenging, wouldn't it? I think it might be. Well, that's where we find Jesus. Jesus hanging out with those that we're not really prepared for him to hang out with. Before we get to chapter 3 in Mark's Gospel, and I'm going to revisit this again. Before we get to chapter 3 in Mark's Gospel, towards the end of chapter 2, around the middle of chapter 2, Mark says one of the most profound things in Scripture, at least for me, in all of the Gospels. Now, you might have your favorite line in Scripture, and for me, it probably changes here and there depending on the season of the church and what's happening in my own life. But I was taken by this chapter 2, verse 15, found in Mark. And as Jesus sat at dinner in Levi's house, Levi was the tax collector who became Matthew. Many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Tax collectors and sinners eating with Jesus. Why? Well, there were many that followed him. They thought Jesus was out of his mind. They thought Jesus was crazy, having dinner with folks that could get him in serious trouble. If we did the same, I'll bet you our family and friends would think we're a little nuts too. Quoting today's gospel, specifically Mark 3:21, which we read, it's about the second sentence in your handout today. Quoting today's gospel, Mark 3:21, Bishop Curry of North Carolina, preaching at General Convention of the Episcopal Church in 2012, found a couple of translations for this sentence. People were saying he has gone out of his mind. In our own New Revised Standard Version, that's what we read, that they thought Jesus has gone out of his mind. Another translation, like the King James Version, captures that English sentiment that says that Jesus was beside himself. But in the New Christian Version of the Bible, the contemporary version of the Bible, it says that Jesus was crazy. The people were saying that Jesus was crazy and they couldn't control him. That is a prophetic statement for Mark to make, because we continue to lead our lives and the governance of our church, our parishes, in a way that we desperately try to control Jesus. We try to control the outcomes of our actions, the expectations of our faith, and we need the grace of God to break out of those molds and dare to be crazy, crazy Christians, as Michael Curry would say. Commentator David Lowe, one of my favorite biblical commentators, says that in this week's gospel, in this gospel reading, we see a similar dynamic playing out in all these different folks. The crowds, the religious authorities, even Jesus' own family. They're judging him against predetermined and socially religious agreed upon norms. That's one way, Lowe says, that we keep our insecurities at bay. We create rules not so much for how they help our neighbor, but for how they help us define ourselves and how handy they are as a standard against which we judge our neighbor. When we see someone who doesn't conform, we call them rebels or radicals or unnatural or even immoral, which is pretty much what's happening to Jesus. And this still happens to everyone who follows Jesus. Because the love of God we see revealed in Jesus knows no boundaries and respects no laws that would keep that love from being shared with everyone. So maybe the question this morning isn't, why is Jesus getting this flack from the people who say he's gone out of his mind? But maybe the question this morning for us should be, why aren't we getting more flack? Today we learn that Jesus' own vision of a kingdom extends beyond that of Israel. We read in Mark's gospel that he goes across the lake to the Gentiles, that he touches lepers, that he includes women in his circles, that he includes those who we don't expect for him to include. Today, we're challenged to be as crazy as Jesus, to not exclude anyone from our communities, to exclude anybody from our churches, from our fellowship, because nowhere in the gospel does Jesus tell anybody, you don't belong here. But we continually do that on Sunday mornings. Not you, specifically, but the church is certainly guilty of those religious and social norms that we've grown accustomed to. Now, I said last week and the week before that that I was going to preach on at least mention in a sermon that we are going to be having a visioning event. And that visioning event happens this Saturday, I'm sorry. Some of you are invited to be interviewed by our congregational coach, but we can't interview everybody. But where we do need everybody is on Saturday morning here at St. Christopher's in Latham Hall, 8:30 to noon. We'll start with coffee and gathering, and then we will have about a 3.5-hour event that's going to hopefully hone in who we are as a congregation, who we are as a people, what purpose we have as a congregation here in Spring Branch, to identify why we're here and what purpose we have in God's great dream for humanity in our neighborhood here. I say, just like Bishop Curry does, that we need some crazy Christians. It's crazy to forgive somebody for wronging you. It's crazy to love somebody who's completely different than you. It's crazy to give up our own feelings of normalcy and routine for the benefit of someone else. It's crazy to think that our churches are growing in a way that we're not expecting. So I ask each of you, each and every one of you, not the person next to you or behind you, but you, to do what you can do to make time on Saturday morning to come and find out how crazy the Holy Spirit is asking you to be, to serve God's kingdom, to follow Jesus, and to be faithful to Him no matter what. Amen.